what you want me to say. And as I always say, just shut my mouth. And if it's not something I'm supposed to say, and if it's something I'm supposed to say, even if it's hard, God, help me to say it. I pray for open hearts. I pray, God, that you'll... You told me this week you were gonna talk to some people. So I'm praying that you're going to talk to some people today through your word, not through my words, but through your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a series called Becoming the Person God Made You to Be. And that's a big... Oh, I forgot the kids. Kids, go ahead and go. Whoo! They were just about to yell at me. I didn't get yelled at. That's good. There they go. All right. So we have been talking about this issue of becoming the person who God made you to be. And that's a hard issue. It's a hard issue because we get stuck in our ways and we get comfortable. We like things the way we like them. We want to do things, and we get in ruts. And so when somebody stands up and says, there's a different way, there's love, there's joy, when you don't know how to get joy. And today we're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about peace. And this is probably of the fruits that we're going to talk about. It's really one of that's really relevant to each one of us, because I think so many of us struggle with peace, with really having peace in our life. So I ask you this question today. What is out of control in your life right now? Is it your parenting? You have no idea. Your kids are just a mess. You know, what do I do with these kids? And I don't know what I'm doing, and it's hard. For some of it's money. For some of it's a health matter. For some of us, it's just everything. It just seems like it all just got dropped in our lap. The older I get, the more I realize. I think about when I was 50. I didn't realize it until I was 50, because I thought I had some semblance of control in my life. And then if I work hard and I do this and I do that, and A, B goes to B, and B goes to C, and C goes to D, that it'll all just be okay. But it really wasn't that way. You can't control your spouse, right? Say amen. That means yes. Yes, you can't control your spouse. You can't control any of their spiritual disciplines. You can't control how they love you. You can't control their work ethic. You can't control whether they love Jesus or not. That's out of your control. You can't control your kids from making bad choices. You can teach them, and you can show them, and you can pray, and you can do all the things you're supposed to do, and they still are out of our control. You can't control your coworkers. I was talking to somebody a week or two ago, and it really hit me. And they were saying that it's so hard to work today because you go to work, and when you go to work, if you're so many people are just skating by at their jobs, and if you work hard, you get singled out, and it's not fun. You all know what I'm saying. I'm not there. So, but it was sad. He said, I lower my game. I don't want to, but I lower game. And I thought that's a shame. That's a shame. And I think that's a real defense for the American culture today. That what we've done is we've dumbed our work ethic down to meet the lowest common denominator, and that is not working. It's not working well at all. And the Bible says, you know, for those of us who are in Christ, that we're supposed to do our best in the Lord, no matter what, no matter whether our coworker. I know you get beat up because you look like a superstar. You look like a superstar if you do your best, and because everybody else is just kind of mailing it in, and those kinds of things. They really start to wear on you and begin to understand you can't control other people. You might be able to do some things with you, but you're not going to do anything with anybody else. You have a hard enough time controlling yourself. I want to eat right, and all of a sudden I had some good food. Oh, you know, I want to exercise, and you get up, oh, my bones hurt, my muscles hurt, and you don't do it. You know, you get what I'm saying. Social scientists tell us, and most of you, again, I'm not coming after anybody in here today, but I want to say this. They have a theory that people with control issues are actually more likely to believe in conspiracy theories, which means the next time that an uncle or aunt sends you that weird email or a text with some video from YouTube, it's not necessarily wrong. It's just them trying to make sense of the world. I understand all the panic. I understand all the distrust. And so when somebody offers you this version of things, it goes, there's an answer. Because there is no answer to some of this stupidness that's going on in our country, right? Say yes. There's no answer. Why? Why is our country? There's no answer. And so it's very easy to understand why we gravitate towards an answer. Because if somebody says, here's the answer, and they shove it out on YouTube or they shove it out on whatever, it makes sense. Makes sense of this silliness in this world. And so really what that's a sign of is that we're going, I don't like being out of control. I don't like that things are going the way they are. And I don't know what else to do about it, so I'll gravitate somebody who has an answer. We live in a world where we don't have control. That's the no duh moment this morning. Listen, we do not have control. If you think you're in control, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. Scripture makes a consistent promise about what you can and cannot control. And the idea of controlling anything in this world is really way, way out of the bounds for a Christian. We're going through the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. Two weeks ago, we talked about love. Last week, we talked about joy. Today, we're talking about peace. Peace. Not the wartime peace, but peace. Peace that comes like a river, something that's supernatural, something that we can't find unless we are in Him. Most of you here struggle with a mind that will not shut down. You are thinking about so many things. It's because you're trying to control. So if I remember it, if I can put it down, if I can accomplish this, if I get A, then B happens. And if I get B, C happens. And then something happens and the rug is pulled out of a B and there's, what I do? There's no gap. How do I get to C? And so it makes perfect sense where we live in a world where our minds are so convoluted and they're so crowded and they're so unkept in the sense that we can't shut it off. Almost every night I have to battle it. And I'm very aware of it. And I know all the things to go and to combat it. I listen to Christian music. I pray. I do all those things. And still I battle with trying to get a handle on the things in my life. We live in a world where we just don't control it. That's the bottom line. So what do we do? What do we do? Look what Isaiah says. And this is for Jesus people, only for Jesus people. If you love Jesus, listen up. If you're not there yet, it's still for you, but follow along. Here we go. Isaiah says this, I think. He doesn't say that. All right. Ha! Look at there. Is there any way you can get that booted? There. Nope, nope. You can't? Okay. You will keep in perfect peace. All those, I don't write it down. Somebody look it up real quick because it's my whole thing. Somebody get Isaiah real quick. Who's got a Bible? Isaiah 26:3. What happened? It's just giving me no peace today, right? Amen. There goes my peace. Huh? Yeah, read it out loud. Okay. You will keep in perfect peace those who take their minds and keep your mind set in Him. That's really, really important. That's really important. So that's the overall scripture that we're going to kind of look at today. So let's go to Philippians 4, 6 through 7 and see if we can get any part of that. It says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you, go ahead. Perfect. Thank you so much. Just be prepared to keep reading, okay? Here we go. That scripture, for most of us, we know it. We can quote it backwards and forwards. You know exactly what it says. And you read it and you go, wow, I don't know if I can go there. I don't know that I can do that. I just don't know that that's even possible. So what I want to do today is I want to try to break it down, and I want to try to break that, just that scripture down, and so I'm going to go real quick. This may be a really, really short sermon, so let's get into it. Let's break it down. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Maybe that'll come up. If that part comes up, that'll be good. The word worry literally means a divided mind, a divided mind. When you worry, you have a mind that is of two natures, one of I love Jesus, I have faith in Jesus, but oh, here's the boogeyman over here. Okay, it's a divided mind. It goes in two directions, two different places. The word worry is a horrible word today. It's a word that is permeates our lives because it's a big part of our lives. This maybe I got it on the screen. No, I don't even have the screen. Okay, so the worry is meditating on the what ifs. When you have a worry, what you're doing is you're thinking about the what ifs. What if they cheat on? What if my spouse cheats on me? What if I never get married? What if my kid doesn't follow Christ? What if I can't have kids? What if something happens over in Israel? What if I don't do this? What if I don't do that? See, it's the ifs where we think about those more than we think about the one who is supposed to be guiding and giving us purpose and giving us direction. Meditate means to think something over and over and over. To worry means to meditate on what lies ahead. And what lies ahead, you don't know. Only he knows what lies ahead. He has tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. It doesn't mean you're not going to worry, but he will take you through the worry that is coming on with you. He will walk with you, and you have to trust him more than you trust the conspiracy theories, more than you trust the other things that are out there, because they pale in comparison to who Jesus is. It is so important. It is so important to wrap your heads around that. It means to meditate over and over and over again on the things that we're supposed to meditate. He goes on and tells us what to meditate on in just a minute, on those things that are good and worthy. The next phrase is instead. It says instead. Very straightforward, one little word. It's up there. Thank you, forever did that. Yay. Can we go back? Is there any way? Hope we don't mess it up. Maybe? No? Back to two. There you go. Three, two. Instead! There it is. Yay. Yay. Instead. Let me talk about instead really quickly. Just this is, I love that little word, instead. Instead, what do I mean? Paul says, I'm going to give you something else to do. Don't worry. Instead of worry, what I want you to do is I want you to lean towards God's peace. He doesn't say don't worry because there's nothing to worry about, because, my friends, there's a lot to worry about. There's a ton to worry about. You can worry till from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed. And there's lots, it's real. It is real and it is hard and it is harsh out there. I get it. It is. But he doesn't say don't worry because there's nothing to worry about. There's an old preacher story, and I'm going to tell it's a little cheesy, but it goes like this. The cheesy story begins like this, that they have a contest. Thank you so much for fixing that, whoever did that. Thank you. Praise the Lord and pass the bacon. Appreciate you. Anyway, there's an old preacher story, and here's the old preacher story. There was this art contest, and they wanted to say, draw a picture of what peace looks like. Okay. So apparently it's a true story. And so the first in this art gallery, the first third place went to a picture of a meadow and a valley, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous, and you looked at it, and it was very, very peaceful. It was blue skies. There was birds flying. There's Abby. This is the day from heck, isn't it? All right, here we go. Anyway, the birds are flying. It's a beautiful picture. Third place. All right. Second place went to a painting of a baby sleeping in its mother's arms. That is a very peaceful place. I've had Juby right here, and I can just sit there and just snore all day, just sitting there, because it's so peaceful just having her on your, having a baby there. First place, though, went to a really, as you looked at the picture, it was really confusing. I tried to find it, and I could not find it. Probably glad I didn't, because it probably wouldn't have gone up. But you had to study it really, really hard when you looked at the picture. It was a big storm, and you saw these huge, dark, menacing waves crashing against the cliff, and you saw lightning in the sky, and it was streaking across the sky, and you could see the effects of the wind as it was crashing in sideways to those cliffs. And it was a relentless storm that seemed like it wasn't going to let up anytime soon. As you look at that picture, the closer you looked up in the very corner was a little ledge, and there were three little birds, and they were under their mother's wings. And the thing that it says, peace in the storm. And they were just sitting just there, just hanging out. Everything was crashing around them. But they were right under their mother's wings. That's where God wants you to be positioned today, under his wings. He wants you to remember you're under his wings, no matter how horrible it is or how how it just seems horrible to you. Understand that God wants you under his wings. That's the position he's asking the church to do today. He's asking you, come under my wing. Come under my wing and I will protect you. I will give you shelter. That's what the scripture promises time and time again. One of the reasons we celebrate communion every week at our church, besides the Bible saying, as often as you get together, do it, is to remind ourselves that when we come to this place, whatever storm you're going through, whatever it is that's going on in your life, Jesus wants to meet you, and he wants to make your life, he wants to bring it under his position, and he wants you to tuck yourself up under his wings. Doesn't make sense when we talk about this. It doesn't make sense when you're going through it. It doesn't make sense when your health just changed drastically and you get a notice and something really bad and you're not working and it looks horrible and you go, what am I going to do? And that guy is telling me to have peace. It doesn't make sense that you have peace during finals. It doesn't make sense that you have peace when the bills come due. It doesn't make sense when you're here and you're lonely and you're married to somebody. And even though you married and you said you would, it's not going very well. That peace seems to elude us. Paul promises one of the best ways for you to take Jesus to a non-believing world, church. Listen. Listen good. The best way you can go to a non-believing world is apt probably not for you to study and memorize the philosophical arguments for the existence of God and argue and argue and argue, or put it on Facebook and argue with other people. You're right, I'm right, you're wrong. That will not get you very far today. But I'll tell you what will get you a little further is for you to be open and honest to your non-believing friends about the pain that you're in right now, about what the storm it is that you're going through, and that you're connected to the vine, and you're so connected to the vine that they see the peace that's in you. They see the peace that's flowing through you as you are under the wing of Jesus. I want some of you to understand that your friends are looking for something like that. That's why they're turning to all the things they're turning to today, crystals and divination and you know, people on horoscopes and different things like that. They're turning to anywhere they can to get an answer, to get somebody to make sense of this. And the only people that have it are you. The only chance of anybody who is apart from Jesus seeing who Jesus is you. And the peace that you can bring with you even as you go through this horrible storm. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying, how important it is? That you have the peace of Christ, not just on you, in you. In you. And again, this peace that I'm talking about, it's our faith at large. It's based on an empty tomb. It's based on who he said he was and what he said he was going to do. It is not based on anything else. That sounds good. So how do we get it? How do we get it? Let's spend the rest of our time, the next 6 minutes, and then we'll be done. Don't time me on this, but here we go. The third one, the third part of that verse in Philippians. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, I'm gonna jar some of you here because you've said these exact words. I've heard some of you say it, okay? Here's what that actually means. You know what it means? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now, here's what I've heard. During football season this fall, you're going to be watching with a group of people, and you're going to face a situation where your team is down big in the fourth quarter. It's so big, you're going to say out loud, "You know it's going to take a miracle for us to win." Somebody says, "Hey, I think I'll pray to God, and he'll intervene for us. And we'll, with divine intervention right now, we can win." And the person next to you is going to put up their self-righteous hat, and they're going to say, because they weren't in church today, they're going to say, "I don't think God cares about football," right? You ever heard that? The Bible says pray about everything, okay? I don't know, maybe even the Colts. I don't know. But it says pray about everything. Does that say except the Colts? But what about the Miami fans? What about the, you know, Kansas City fans? See, I don't know. But I'm telling you, take it literal. Pray about everything. About everything. Look at these three verses that I think are up there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Okay, there's the thing. All the time, all day long, doesn't have to be a dear God, you know, just, "Hey God, I need this. Hey God, I need you to look at this. Hey God, help me, I'm feeling a panic attack. Hey God, okay. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times on every occasion, even the Colts games. Or whatever game you watch. Paul just doesn't leave it there. He doesn't just say pray. He tells us, look, and here's the next one. Go to the next. Right there. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Say that with me. So everybody read that whole sentence. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. One more time. Okay. Here's the selfish version of that, you know, the me version that would be say this. Tell God what you want. Complain to him about what he's done when you say things like this. God, I have this car that works, but it's going to fall apart and it's a jalopy, so would you give me a new car? So what you're basically saying is, you know, I don't like what I got, so just give me something else. I really want that new one. And God, you gave me this spouse I prayed for, but you need to make them less critical. Thank you so much for giving me this spouse. But this is a problem. We need to talk. See, tell God and thank Him. Tell God and thank Him. Tell God and thank Him. Tell God. That's our position. God, I wanted grandkids, and I'm glad I got it, but my kids, man, they're not, I don't know if they're going to be good parents or not. You need to make them better somehow. Okay, it's a good prayer, but got to be careful about your complaining. Be careful about the things you complain about, because you forget that He's the one who gives you everything you have anyway. And it's important to thank Him for the things that He does in your life, for all the things He does in your life. I've really been trying to practice that, and I love it. I love it because I just feel a whole different appreciation for the people in my life, for the things in my life, even when they break down. I had the week from heck this last week on breakdowns. Everything in my car blew up, my mowers blew up. It was just all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, what? But I thank you, God, you're the one that gave them to me to start with. And I was able to just power right through it. And usually I get in kind of a funk, and but I didn't do it this time. And I was really thankful to God for that. And I told Him so. I said, thank you for not letting me get the grumps, for getting the grumps in that. God has given us legit blessings, people. Every one of you have legit blessings. But right now, a lot of you, if I was to ask you how your life is going, the first thing you would tell me is not your blessings. You would tell me the issues and the problems that you're going through. Nothing wrong with that. I understand our problems seem to outweigh, but they don't outweigh our blessings. You know, the problem you have, it's yours, it's big, it's nasty, it seems insurmountable, but it's not insurmountable for the one that's above the wing picture. It's not insurmountable for Him. It's insurmountable for me. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's not insurmountable for Him. Thank God for everything. Everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. I got a couple scriptures there, I think. Psalms 59. Each morning, I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. Psalms 92, it's good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning. Psalms 143, let me hear of your unfailing love each morning. We have to make the switch in our lives when we get more of His word in us than we do our phone stuff. Where we do the news that we get, where we get the inputs that come into our lives. We have no problem watching lots and lots of input daily, whether it's TV, or streaming, your phone, lots and lots of input. But putting the word in us doesn't come very natural. And so we forget to tell Him and to thank Him because we don't have Him, we don't put His things in us. We don't put the things of God in us so they come out of us. Because the more we have in us, the more comes out of us. Paul says, tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. And number five, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And I just read these verses, 16:33. You may have peace in me. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you His peace at all times in every situation. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. See what? That's our part. We have to let Him rule. He'll come. It's just we gotta choose Him over that anxiety, over that panic, over that stress, over that worry. We have to choose Him and let Him rule in our hearts. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Please Take this to heart this week. Take that verse, tape it up somewhere. It is a beautiful verse because so many of us are so concerned about the state of our world and of our nation, of our kids, of the morals and values that we see around us. We are dumbfounded by what's going on. But I remind you one more time, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. What does the world give to you? It gives us all those things I just talked about. It gives you the opposite of that. It gives you worry. It gives you panic. No wonder there's so many of us here today that are saying, I'm having panic attacks, and I can't hardly breathe, and I'm here today, and I'm worrying about this, and I'm stressed, and all those things God talks about. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and stop being afraid. Because the one whose wings is above you is stronger than he who is in this world. Philippians 4 then goes on to say, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, fix your thoughts, it's number 6, on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find that on Netflix? Probably not. Going to find it in your phone? Probably not. You got to have places. I'm not saying those things are all bad. I'm not saying throw them out. I'm just saying you better get a balance. You got to have a balance, because if you don't, what happens is you find yourself going tipped in the other direction. And so then all of a sudden, the worry and the stress and the panic just weighs you down. And it takes you out, and you just start there, you start buffering, and you just go round and round and round. What am I going to do? 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 Fix your eyes on and thoughts on what is true, honorable, right. That's our part in the process, fixing our thoughts on what we let in, then comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Lastly, number 7, this little phrase that most people just go right over, as you live in Christ Jesus. Goes back to week one. I said, you can't do this on your own. If you're trying to get peace on your own, you're not going to get it. It has to be what the Spirit of God does in and through you. As you live in Christ Jesus. It's all about what he does if we live in him. What does that mean? For each of us, it means some different things. God is going to call some of you today to be more intense on the things that you put into your life. Be more intentional to the things that you look with your eyes. To be more intentional with the things that go into your ears. The music, the reels, the TikToks, so whatever it is, however you get it into your system, he wants you to be more intentional. That's the caveat. You've got to live in Christ Jesus. So, man, come on up, and I'm not shutting down yet, but come on up. I still got some things I want to say to you, about a minute out. Remember, as we were talking about week one, we were talking about it's not about self-improvement. It's about spirit empowerment. So if you're here today and you're chasing peace and peace seems to elude you, it's not about being able to find it. It's this. Listen to me. Will you, look over here. Will you humble yourself? Will you humble yourself? That is the hardest thing there is to humble yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. And he will lift you up. He will get you out of the quagmire. He will take you places that he wants to put you. The call on him is a daily thing. We have to call on him all the time when we see ourselves getting in trouble with these things. God, I need you to come. Initially, we all need to call on him and say, God, I need you to save me. But every day, we've got to call on him and say, God, save me from myself. Save me from the stupid things that are going on in my head. Block them. Stop them. Don't let them come in. And then be careful, because when you say that, what's going to happen is then he's going to start putting thoughts in your head and allowing thoughts to come into your mind that are going to say, you better look at the things that you're doing in your life. And there's some things I require of you. I require of you to become more like me. And by doing that, you're going to have to watch what comes into these three entrances. Because if you don't limit that, it's like I've seen those things on those reels. And there's a canoe. I love this. There's a canoe, and it's full of water. And the husband is up in the front bailing the water out, and the woman is on the side bailing it, throwing it back in, time after time. And he's just throwing it out, and she's throwing it in. That's kind of what we're doing. We're expecting God, bail my boat out. God, take my boat and make it float, all the while we're dumping stuff in it that's designed to take us down. The devil wants you paralyzed. He wants you buffering. He wants you just doing this. He wants you to be static. He wants you just to be kind of half-baked. The waves of grief may crash. The winds of doubt may swirl. The rain of pain seems unending. But Jesus covers you with his grace and his peace. Accept it. Live in it. Live under it. Bring yourself in a position to humble yourself.